beauty.
All right, welcome back to episode 63 of the Slide In Podcast. I'm Braden Anderson, it's Kelly Gallup, and we have a very special guest here, Chris Bianchi.
We've been saying he's going to be on here for since the beginning.
Yeah, we finally made it happen. It's been over a year, a long time.
Oh, yeah. 50 something episodes.
62.
Oh, 62. Yeah. I'm a couple behind.
We're here. Good to have you, dude. For those who don't know, Chris is, what's your official title? Shipping manager?
Shipping manager.
I'd say guru of Slide In Aura.
I do a little everything, but I do a lot of the shipping stuff.
Chris does a lot of,
anybody that listens that ever got a package will know it's Chris because he has perfect penmanship. He's very polite.
Yeah, and the flies are unbelievably well organized.
Yeah, it puts me on the spot when I have like 50 orders. Can't get sloppy with it.
No, you can't. No, you're like, the attention to detail with packing orders, I mean, it is unbelievable. And I was not up to par when I first started here.
It's the notes.
It's the notes, yeah.
I hear about them all the time.
Yeah, so if you've ever
called me and tell me about Chris's notes.
Thank Chris. You crushed that. And then besides from being a great employee, he's also a great angler. Great dude, just good hang all around.
The traveling Wilbury.
I try.
Yeah. How many miles do you have on your truck?
200 and probably 70. I'm getting close to 3, but like 275 probably.
How many do you think you did this year?
Ooh, this year, I don't know. Last 2 years, I've put some serious miles
you
on.
You have to be go like
Chris is the one that we always talk about that goes, we'll drive 8 hours to fish for a day or two and then drive all the way back in the middle of the night so he can go right to the end.
Yeah. I used to be better at it when I lived at the slide. Living in a house has made me a little soft.
Yeah, you saw that? I don't think so. But we talked about it at one point, but you know, if you're heading over to the Clearwater, it's about a 7-hour drive to that lower stretch from Ennis. Is that about right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Orofino to Ennis. That's every bit of 7.
And you leave after work at 5 PM.
Sometimes I'll leave, I'll leave 3 o'clock. I'll leave a little early.
You didn't hear nothing.
Get a head start. I know.
It's like, what, 2.5, almost 3 full days of fishing and then 7 hours back, get home super late.
Yeah, get there in the dark, fish at least 2 full days and then fish that third day and drive home. Yeah.
It's, I did it, I think, 3 weekends in a row and I was so beat up. And you did how many? 8?
Oh, I don't know how much. Yeah, it was a good bit, but I like the drive. I like driving.
It's nice. Love that drive. I was just talking to a buddy who went over to pick up a snowmobile in McCall, and he had never been over Lolo Pass before.
Oh, well.
And he went up Lolo with like a half tank.
Yeah.
And was coasting.
Coasting through, Syringa there.
Yeah. And he didn't know there would be no cell service. And so it's nothing. Yeah. And he had a bad time, but
barely anywhere to figure it out.
Yeah. No, it is. It's such a cool stretch of road, though.
Yeah, even in the dark, it's all right.
I did 3 trips to Montana in 3 weeks from Michigan.
That's, yeah.
You got him beat.
How many hours is that?
You got me beat for sure.
35.
Oof.
Had to trade a week's vacation for a 4-day. When I worked at Shell, every other 4-day.
Yeah.
Other weekend. And I came out to hit the salmon fly. I missed it. I said, next week's going to be unreal. Went home, trade Tommy Heller. My thing drove out again.
Came right back.
They're everywhere. Wouldn't eat one of the son bitches.
Oh my God.
They're everywhere. They're just thick. And the guy goes, there's too many. Next week's going to be rocked. So that was my next 4-way. So went back, came back. On the way home, I put my truck in the ditch at 80, dodging a 6-foot pink rabbit.
Yeah. And what caused you to see that?
I don't know.
We'll get into that some other time.
Something I was dumb. A trucker gave me I was buying no-dos. He goes, those things are for kids. Here, take one of these. Sure. Freaking rabbit.
You
don't take pills from truckers.
Yeah. Seemed like a nice guy.
We've got a lot of other
worldly
advice.
I was awake afterwards.
Yeah, bet. all right, Chris, we have...
Then I never drove again. That was over.
Did they eat at that time?
Huh? No, but they ate the shit out of the ants.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. I don't know if I ever told the story on the podcast, but they were flight ants. Somebody told me they were termites. They weren't. They were flight ants. And I had a fished in Michigan. I just tons of them, right? I had big black carpenter ants. Didn't matter. The wrong color. They ate the shit out of them, right? The guy down below me, have I told this on the...
I don't think so.
Had two Asian guys with him. They didn't speak English. And he's a giant guy. He's like 6'6", I'd say. And he... I mean, you could throw it out and be standing there and dragging the line. And they just, every fish, it was right below Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I finally, I mean, it's getting stupid. This guy's not catching anything and comes up the river and he goes, looks at me and he goes, what the hell are you fishing? And I said, what they're eating. He didn't seem to think that was that funny. And I go, and I had a cup full of these ants. I mean, like, probably 7 or 8 in just a cup. I had all kinds of. I said, they're eating these. He goes, the hell's that? I said, it's what they're eating. And he goes, so he walks downstream, goes to the guy next to him. He stands there for a while. Mm-hmm. And he walks upstream and he goes, you know, I can't hear anything, but he goes, let me see. And he ties this in and he goes, throw it out there. Guy throws it out. Right? And he just gets one. He walks downstream, plays the same game all over again. But the guy, like, he goes, try this one. And he just crushes it, right? And they just put an ass kicking on it. And I go to the Grizzly that night. You know, everybody went to the Grizzly. It's like a 5-seater back then.
Yeah.
And I get there. So I'm all pumped up, you know, 2:30 or so. And this guy's giant, skinny guy. And I walk in the bar and he looks at me and he grabbed me, picked me up right off my feet. And I'm like, dude, don't kiss me. And he's got me. He got $150. That was when trips were $150.
Yeah.
$150. He's hammered, dude. I mean, you can't get drunk when this guy is. And I'm like, we're best friends? Cool. Yeah. That was my, so I got something out of it.
Well, hey, it's better than
anything. All of that has never combined what he does.
No.
I mean, so, the fact that you can do this every weekend.
Just so context for our listeners, what Chris is very good at many things.
Kind of goes into the guy who says, how do you keep your enthusiasm? You probably should ask him.
Yes. Yeah. Which is, yeah, definitely something we should talk
that
about.
That was last podcast.
What Chris is very notable for, he's very good at many things, but he, people recognize his ability to explore. It's every weekend. It is across, what, 3 or 4 different states.
Yeah, 3.
Driving does not bother you in the slightest.
No, I love it.
And
same with skiing too, right? Finding backcountry?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit with the skiing, but more with the fishing. I stay local skiing.
Yeah, I just heard you talking to that guy about the bulls yesterday.
But yeah, doing, and it's not places you know about, right? Like this is, I'm sure some you've heard rumors about, but it's a lot of actual exploring. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, it's a lot of looking on a map and thinking like, I wonder what that place looks like and I wonder what's in there. And then going and checking it out. That's
what's your ratio?
It's a ton
bust
of
bust to great.
Hmm?
Bust, total buster. What's your ratio?
I guess it depends on.
I mean, you're talking about hundreds of trips.
What
hundreds.
A bust is and what great is, yeah.
Busted, you get, didn't catch anything, you didn't see anything, it sucked, the river's dry, or.
Well, not too often, because I'll check conditions before I go, you know, check flows, check weather. So, call a shop. A lot of the times, you know, I hardly ever get somewhere it's a bust unless it's blown out. But even then, you know, mm-hmm. it's okay. You can always do something.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of all those creeks you go into that you're just like hike for 5 hours to get to.
I have hiked into a bunch of lakes that are a couple lakes that are complete bust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just nothing. Or maybe there's something, but you fish for 2 days and, you know, you don't see a thing.
I've done that here where lakes that are spectacular and they freeze out over the winter and haven't planted them. You know, most of those lakes have to be planted.
And they all die out.
And there's nothing left. Yeah. Or very one or two maybe.
Yeah. One you fished a couple years ago, you go back, you had a great time, and it's like, totally. Where'd they go? Or they're not there at all.
So in terms of this exploration, do you have any advice for listeners? Because I've learned, I mean, just so much from you over the years. But definitely using your off days. I make a point of doing that after seeing you, like, you know, it's, you don't, I don't know if I've ever seen you go into a weekend without a plan. Right. So,
oh, yeah.
So could you give our listeners, viewers, a little bit of advice on like what goes into crafting a plan? And I don't want you to burn your spots, but just in terms of, you know, you start on Google Maps or you start with a rumor you heard about something or what, like what goes in, what's your decision-making process when you've got 3 days off?
Yeah. You start on some kind of lead or something you've been looking at. I look at Onyx, satellite images, just a ton, just daydreaming about, you know, if I go into here, I wonder what it's like. And then you kind of do what research you can for that kind of, you know, whatever kind of drainage or waterway it is. And once you checking conditions is the biggest. A lot of guys, they go and they don't check the conditions before they get there. And it's like historically low flow. I know you know about this one.
I know this well.
Or the yeah. weather is just atrocious.
I want to clarify. I did know it was going to be historically low.
Okay, you knew.
I still went.
But yes. Still, you know, I'll check flows. And I want to make sure that there's actually water in there. And I want to make sure the river's not 70-something degrees. And I think that's probably the most important. Once you think you have a plan and you want to go into somewhere, I'm checking conditions for that spot for about at least a week leading up to it.
Yeah.
5 days leading up to it. And then I've got a backup plan just in case. I always have that plan B where, you know, maybe it's in the complete opposite direction and you just get to some good weather.
So even before you're going to like decide on where you're going to fish, do you start by deciding how you want to fish? Are you thinking, okay, I want to go find cutthroat in Alpine Creeks, or I want to go hunt brown trout?
Yeah, so I break it down what kind of fish, I guess. Like, what am I? But really, I break it down, do I want a shot at the tidal, or do I want to go have a good time, fish a glass rod and, you know, small creek and catch a bunch of, you know, nice cutthroat? I don't mind catching small fish on my days off, especially if I don't see anyone. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways I break it down. And then, you know, if it's a shot at the tidal, you just kind of got to be okay with maybe going out for 3 days and not catching a fish or blowing the one shot that you get. So it just kind of depends. But that's definitely one of the – that's the first way I break it down. Do I want to one fish or do I want to have a shot and just catch fish?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm listening.
Cool. All right, we'll keep
I mean,
on.
I've been following it since he started. I was just thinking that Chris is the first guy that I know that blocked out imagery way back when because somebody busted. I think it was when somebody busted me where I was at, and he was like, you got to do this. You know, the
blurred out the background.
Blurring everything way back before. Now everybody does it. But
yeah.
And then about the whole geo thing.
Yeah, whatever. Brayden actually showed me something with that recently that
Yeah, on your iPhone, if you send an original photo, you have to go in. If you send it from your text, it will always include the location. You have to send it from your Photos app and select do not include location. Otherwise, and the way to get around this, what I always do if I go get a big fish with no background that I want to send to somebody, I take a screenshot of it because a screenshot has no geo data on it. And then what I oftentimes do is I reverse the image and then move some things around. And so, you know, it's like, oh, that's on the inside bend. Well, no, it's not. That's backward, you know, whatever. I'm not that smart. Everybody can figure out
the story
my shit.
About the guy that brought me a fish to mount. And I told him, because I'd never seen anybody fishing it, the pond.
Yeah.
And he laid the fish down. I said, that looks like a Brundage fish. How'd you know that? I said, because I've never seen my fish in there. The next time I go, I'll see you. And I did.
Yeah.
The very next time I went, he's there. And I said, I also had a brochure that had a ghost image in the back.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew where it was, you'd know where it was. Otherwise, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And when he handed me the fish, I said, stay right here. I had to go into the shop, came out, handed my thing. I said, you're standing right there. Just so you know.
Just because, so you know.
Yeah, but you wouldn't, you know, back then it was very seldom. Now, I forget where I was fishing. Even if I knew, I wouldn't say it. But, one of the reps, he just figured it out and told me. I said, "Holy shit, what did you do?" He goes, "Just started looking, things like that on the Google, you know, Earth, and had it dialed right in." I'm like, "That may have been what made But he's the first guy that I knew that did this. No way, I'm not
getting it. He's the best at this. Like, there's been multiple times where I have caught fish.
And by the way, most of the places he's going, it's not like you would.
You'll never find him.
Well, you never. But you may not want to. There's a lot of, you do a lot of work to get to a lot of these places. Yeah. Most people aren't. But they need to find it on their own.
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't get.
Oh yeah,
what he's really good at. I swear to God, you have a photographic memory for every river you've been on, or like you might.
That's the only, maybe the only thing I have a photographic memory for. Yeah.
But I remember multiple times. I play this little game where I'll send Chris a picture of a fish and go, "Where is it?"
Oh yeah, I like this game.
And dude, he's hitting like 80%. And this is no background. This is just a fish and a substrate, maybe a little bit of the bank, like a cut bank or something. And his batting average is really good on that. I remember the one, it's the biggest brown I've ever caught. I sent it to you, and it took 10 seconds, and you sent back one of two places. And I said, "How'd you know?" And you go, "Well, it's not here because you have bear spray. And it's not here because you're not carrying water, so you're not going that far from the car." Like,
yeah.
All kind of clues. The one we talked about, I actually told, I met the guy and talked to him about this, but... And I won't mention who it was or what, but guy posted a picture of a really big fish on Instagram, and you sent it to me and said, "We're going to figure out where this is within the hour." And you zoomed in on the glasses. There's a dam in the background.
That was dirty.
So we reversed it, and we, I swear to God, it was like 12 minutes from start to finish. We knew exactly where he was standing. Yeah. So like, if you think you're secretive.
That was fun, but it's the only time I've ever zoomed in on someone's glasses.
Yeah. Okay, have you ever caught a fish there? Because I fished it a lot, and I've never caught
a fish. No, I've fished it a ton since, and I've caught like two rainbows.
Yeah, so yeah I think ones. Career I've caught two. Mm-hmm. I got one that was about 21. That was a great fish, but other than that, they're all...
I think I've ever caught a brown trout there.
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm. No.
It's just close. Not too far from here, Nor?
Oh, yeah, it's super close. Yeah. It's just like... You just,
yeah, we talk about it a lot.
I've fished it more than most.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it looks great.
I talked to him.
And whenever I do get a brown, it's a very anemic, white-looking, like almost river or lake-looking fish, where it's like a Lake Michigan. I mean, not the golds and the
They don't have a lot of color in there.
Very.
Although this one did.
That one.
And the reason I was up there is because the picture I saw had a lot of color, and it was a 3-0.
Yeah.
The picture I saw. Not only that, but everyone it was. It was in the freaking Bozeman paper.
Yeah.
Genius. Nice.
Never seen anybody there either, because I think everybody gets the same results.
So. Yeah.
But, so you go, your first thing is you're digging into what you want to, then what's next?
Yeah, just kind of how I want to spend the day. And then after that, I guess how far you want to drive, but going into...
What's the furthest you've went?
Well, I mean, I usually, you know, if I have 3 days off, I'll go 8 hours to have... 3 full days fishing, drive there, fish, drive home on that last day is, that's about my max for 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say.
It's a lot of driving.
Yeah. But
what do you do in the car?
Twice. Oh man.
Listen to Matt and Shane's secret podcast.
Yeah. Listen to a ton of that. Podcast,
by the way, Chris, 8 years ago, how long have you been here?
This is my, in April, 9 years.
Yeah, 8 years ago, Chris said, "You have to do a podcast." He's been trying to get me to do a podcast. How your dumbass got me to do this, I'll never know. But,
well, I yelled at you.
Oh, that's
right. Well, that's what happened.
You are scary. But yeah, Chris said, "For it, you got to do it." And I'm like, the hell, I think the first year I was like, once in a while I'd ask Jenny, "What the hell's a podcast?" And
so then, who would want to listen to me talk?
I think the first time we brought it up, the first time I ever heard you say the word, you said podcast, which is
I'm still just getting into
I think that's a Yiddish word.
I got into him more, but Chris is
Brady's been saying, listening more. I've been hearing him talking about the River Rambler.
Yeah, it was the only ones you put me on. Yeah, you just send them to me. I listen to them.
Me on any of them.
Rick.
From this guy.
All right. So we talked about this a lot when it happened, but I just want to hear it from the horse's mouth. You caught a giant brown this spring.
I did.
Will you obviously not tell us where you were, but it's somewhere where you've been a lot.
I try to get there once a year.
Just kind of walk us through the experience, the familiarity you have there, and then just kind of what was different? What happened?
I don't think there was anything too different.
Which in and of itself is...
It's a spot I go to once a year, every spring. I just kind of, once it starts to get nice and I want to get away from, you know, the dreary looking weather that's here, I head down here and I camp for a couple days in my truck and, you know, take Tybee. It's just a good spot. There's never too many people Tybee's there.
His dog.
Oh yeah, we're gonna put in some Tybee content. If you guys don't know Chris's dog, Chris's best dog.
That's how I'm recognized on the river. But so I went down and I got there and it was just chocolate milk. It was just blown out completely. It was higher than I've ever seen it. I think this was in April, end of April.
Yeah.
Early June. I think it was June 1st.
Yeah.
Everything was blown out. I fished for a day, and I've never nymphed there. And I ended up nymphing a couple places, caught some fish, and it was, nothing spectacular. And I was looking at Onyx that night, and I saw there's this big tributary that comes in about a good way up, and I thought maybe if I get above that, it'll be not chocolate milk. And so I went up there the next day, and it was big, but it wasn't dirty.
What's the run? How far you got to go? Is it a hike or is it a drive?
Oh, no, it's just a drive. Oh. Just a drive upriver. And then above that, it's the last big tributary before you get to where it just comes out of, you know, nothing. And so I got up there, and I saw it the next morning, and it was big, but it was clear. So I was like, okay, cool. I got a shot here. I'll fish streamers instead of the nymphs. And I fished all day and nothing. I can't even remember if I caught another fish that day. But I did miss one. I missed a really nice brown trout in a completely kind of random spot. And I thought, oh, there's the fish of the trip right there. That was my shot. So that was my last day. And I started on my way down the road, going home. And I thought, you know, one more spot. And it's a spot I've fished before, couple times before.
Pause real quick.
So it was a spot I fished before. I fish it just about every time I'm there. It's got a great camp spot. I've camped there a few times. And, there was a thunderstorm rolling, and I do remember that. That was the one thing that was different. It had been so sunny and so nice the previous days, and there's this big storm coming in. I could hear it. Maybe it's starting to drizzle a little, but it's still nice outside. It's not windy or anything. So I walked down, and I just got my rod, and I don't even know if I have any other flies with me or anything, because I fully plan on going home in, you know, the next 30 minutes. And I make a couple casts. I get down there, and I think it was within like five casts, super short, on this undercut bank. I'm standing on the bank, and this fish just came out and ate this olive peanut envy. It wasn't fast. It came out confidently is how I've described it. It wasn't quick. He just came out. He knew that was food, and he just inhaled it. From what I remember, it looked like a bass eat. And just opened its mouth, and that fly disappeared. I only set because it startled me, and I kind of set, and it was on. I mean, that was it. It fought upstream for I don't know how long, and then it finally turned downstream. And I looked at my dog, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
And so we chased that thing downstream for a little while and somehow was able to pull it into this, pond. It wasn't even a side eddy. It was, just this still water swamp. And I pulled it into there, and I knew it was a big fish, but once I got it in my net, that's when, my hands started.
You got, half of that fish in that net.
It folded in it. I can't remember what fish pond net it is, but it's a pretty nice net. It's a pretty big net, and it just completely just folded like a U in there. And I knew it was the biggest fish I'd ever hooked when I was chasing after it. But then I knew it was something freaky once I really got my eyes on it. It was as long as that net. It's like the fish pond. I don't know. The net says it's 31 inches. I measured it.
32.
I measured it in the shop. The net is 32.
Yeah.
And the fish was... I didn't get a good tape. I didn't get an actual tape on it, but it was every bit as long as that net.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a little bit longer than the net, but...
You're going to have to wonder when you see the picture.
Yeah.
No, I'll plug the picture in here again. I know we put it up before, but it's there's no question.
Yeah, we congratulated him.
It's a huge fish.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Yeah.
After I landed it, I got some quick picks, let it go, and I think I was in shock, and I fished for like 5 or 10 more minutes. And I was like, what am I doing? I was like, I never get home early. I never drive home in the daylight. Yeah. And I just looked at Tybee and I was like, let's go. Let's drive home in the daylight. Yeah. We never do this.
So. Go bask in the warmth of that one for a while.
And the whole time.
Wasn't it like the shittiest day ever down there too? Is that a different story?
I don't know.
That's a different story. Cause I think I said the same thing when we were saying what a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to Jake about like hunting big fish and there are two trips we almost did. We did one instead of the other and he almost bailed. And then he's like, all right, well, I'll come. But I want you to know that if I get a 30 on the first day, I'm driving home immediately.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, fuck you, dude. Are we going to hang out and have fun? He goes, nope, I'm leaving you and I'm going to go have a beer or a couple.
He would have stayed with you.
No, he was just trying to get under my skin, which he does a very good job of.
He would have stayed with you.
Yeah, no, he would have for sure.
But going back to people that can identify a spot, got one buddy, Holden. He used to come in here a good bit. He's a fisheries biologist, and he's the only person that looked at that picture and was like, hey, the biologist and so-and-so showed me a picture of a brown trout, and it looks just like that. Is that where you were? And I was like, you are so good.
That's another thing that not everyone knows is fish from different systems have different characteristics. Like there's some places,
they look different.
There's some places where you catch a fish and you go, I know exactly where that is just because of how it looks. And yeah. Now there's some variance in that, I'm sure. But there's definitely. A lot of like what we were talking about earlier, almost every fish I've caught up there takes on this sort of, it's like they don't have a ton of color. They're kind of white, like beaver head fish at different times of the year. You know, when that water's all colored up,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those browns come out kind of milky. Same thing in the ruby. Yeah.
The ruby's ruby's got the red spots. This river almost never has red spotted brown trout.
Yep. Yeah, the beeve has those same red spots. But a lot of times almost like a milkier. It's not like this rich gold.
So rare to get a red spotted brown trout on this river.
Yeah. Big Hole and Jeff get them too, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've got some.
I've got them here, but I'm not. I mean, it's really, really, really rare.
Mm.
We're back home and over there on that side, Beaverhead, Big Hole. Ruby's the best. The ruby, those fish are just gorgeous.
Yeah, they are. They're really pretty.
I thought there was something wrong with our fish when I first started catching them out here.
Really?
I'd never seen one without a red spot. They said it was a different strain I'd never heard of.
Huh.
And they also jump more than. Brown trout here jump a lot.
Yeah we get some very jumpers. Jumpy here.
Yeah.
I caught some out back the other week that just cut in backflips.
Yeah, just total airborne.
Best.
It was like 60 degrees. They were probably happy.
Yeah. All right, well, since we're comfortable now.
Exactly where were you fishing? Oh.
No. Johnny told me I had to ask you about your interview with him and Kelly to start working here.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me much about it. Do you want to share, or we can just move past that?
Yeah, no, I mean, sure. That's if we go back to the beginning. It's a pretty, I guess.
Let's actually start. Story. Yeah, didn't you came down here to stay at the slide and got double booked?
Yeah, it starts there for sure.
Start with that. I think because I find that very funny.
So I was living in Whitefish, ski instructing up there, and I'd come down here on my days off, some of them, and I'd stay at the slide, stay in cabin 5 or 6, and. You know, there's not too many brown trout up there. So I liked coming down and, you know, fishing brown trout. And I just got into the streamer thing, just figured out what that was kind of. I came down and I think I had been down once before. And I was coming down for like a weekend, probably beginning of October. And I fished all day and I'd made reservations. And it's getting dark and I get up to cabin 5 and the door's open. But the screen shut, and there's this old guy sitting on the bed, rigging up a rod. And I was like, oh, what? I was like, maybe it's the wrong. So I look at my confirmation. I look at the, and I'm like, yeah, it's cabin 5. It's in here. And so I finally knock on the door. And he looks up, and his name's Stan. And I explained to him what was going on, and he was just like, oh, that sounds right. He was like, hey, probably got, you know, probably mess up in the reservations. Come on in. And so he,
this is a one man cabin, by the way.
Oh, yeah, there's one bed. And yeah, so I went on in, and we started talking, and he said, you know, he would like get with you in the morning. We figure it out.
He's from Traverse City.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He died last year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think he recently passed. But so yeah, he told me I could sleep on the floor of his cabin five, and we drank a couple PBRs together. He was going out with Johnny the next day, and he kept talking about, I didn't know who Johnny was, but he was going out with Johnny, and Johnny knows he's looking for this one brown trout. He's not interested in catching those little ones. He wants that one big brown trout. So yeah, Stan and I talked, and right before he went to bed, he told me, I'm in my sleeping bag, like in a corner, he's in the bed. And, he told me that he had never met a bad soul on the river that had a fly rod in their hand. But just in case he ever did, he sleeps with this. And he just pulled up a hand cannon that he had on the side. He was sleeping on it. It was on the nightstand. And I was like, you know, Stan, I'm going to bed. It's not going to be a problem. I'll see you in the morning. And I woke up in the morning and Stan was gone. He was on his trip with Johnny. And so, yeah.
Stan used to, one of the guides down in the white, I think he was with, I think he fished with Chad. I can't remember. No, Alex, I think. And he'd $1,000 if he got a 30 incher.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a 29, and he says, ah, thank God. 29 and a half or something like that. And he said, thank God. I don't have to pay him.
He was a character. It was fun.
Funny.
He was fun staying with him.
Okay, so how'd you get from there to working at the slide?
Well, that was my end. So.
Also, who double booked you?
Oh. I think
me?
I'm pretty sure Kelly. Did. I don't think it was Jeremy or Johnny.
Kelly don't do computer too good.
I think only three of you were working here at the time. Maybe Evan was here, but I think I remember talking
Evan
to you.
Evan was here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been.
But anyway, so yeah, I don't know how much
shit
longer.
Rolls downhill, right?
I don't know how much longer it was after that, but I saw the Help Wanted thing. And I was like, oh man, this is. And I kind of hurt my knee. The summer thing I was doing in Whitefish wasn't quite working out, so I saw this as, like, yeah, the chance. So I got in contact with everyone, and I told Kelly so he'd remember me. I was like, I'm the guy that you double-booked with Stan. He was like, oh, yeah, put in an application, and I did, and I think that's what it said on the top of my application. It was, like, double-booked with Stan.
Nice. And, I get noticed somehow.
Yeah, so I called. I didn't hear anything, and I called like every other day for what felt like a month, which is funny now because now I'm answering these phone calls. But and I was like, hey, is Kelly there? And they're like, no, he just left. You know, he's not here. And I thought Jeremy was like messing with me at this point. I was like, oh, they're like, you know, they don't want me to get the job. They're telling me he's never there. And I called one day, and you were here, and I asked if you'd be here all day. You said yes, and I was like, okay, I'm coming down. And I drove from Whitefish down here. And
6
yeah,
hours, 5 a.m.
Met with you and Johnny right there at the old table.
Do you remember what you said first? This is what Johnny told me I had to
something
ask
about
you.
Being nervous and like, who knows? I was so nervous. I
think Johnny,
you know what
something.
This is like to be sitting here?
Oh yeah. Yeah, like stopped and brushed my teeth at Reynolds Pass and stuff. I was so nervous. Yeah.
That's
Johnny
odd,
should
yeah.
try that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Johnny said you said something like, this is the most nervous I've ever been in my life.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean, I get it. I remember one time, just plug your ears for this. I remember one time somebody asking me, like, who would I be the most starstruck by if I ever met them in person? That's when I was tying a bunch of flies. I'm like, probably Kelly Gallup. I watch him for 4 hours a day. And then I met you, and you called me libtard and drove away.
Yeah.
I went, okay, yeah, don't meet your heroes.
I remember you guys offered me a seat. You and Johnny were sitting behind the desk, and you were like, you want a seat? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I think you got up
And you're like, oh, he's one of those, and gave me your chair and stood the rest of the time. And I was like, oh, God.
That would throw me for a loop. What
kind of mind trick is this? You offered me a chair.
Did you think you had the job when you left that day?
No.
Yeah.
No, Johnny sent me down to – it was actually one of the best days I've ever had in Valley Garden after that. It was sometime in April, and I went down there with, like, a barely legal and a yellow Zoo Cougar, and just – I've never had a day like that down there since.
Just clobbered him.
Oh, it was silly. But yeah, no, I did not think. No. Didn't think that was happening. Kelly said I was too quiet.
You've talked more in this thing than I've heard you talk in 2 years. So.
I'm nervous.
Great. You sure shit didn't say much when you were nervous the first time.
I know. Yeah, I've gotten better.
Where was I going to go with that? I don't remember. I really don't remember. Do you have anything else you wanted to add on to that?
No, I mean, I had that interview, and they said they'd think about it. Called me the next day. Told me I got it. And, I moved down here within a week from Whitefish.
No shit. Picked it up quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy was out of town when I had the interview with Johnny and Kelly, so I had a little, you know, had to hang out with Jeremy, have an interview with him. We went fishing down at $3. It's a damn good time. And yeah.
The rest is history.
That was it. Started working.
Yeah, I remember when I got the call from Matt that we were getting the job here. Because I've told this before, we applied with a stupid PowerPoint.
I wish more people would do that.
Yeah, it was funny. Hilarious. It was funny. We had a lot of fun making it. I wasn't even sure we were ever going to submit it, actually. It was just really fun to make. We're goofing. I don't ever think I told the page that we deleted from it. We deleted a couple of pages from it, but one of the pages we deleted was titled Good Ideas for Good Business. And it was just, it was one bullet point, and it said slide into : your mom. And that was it. And we deleted that one. And then we show up, and like 2 weeks later, you're like, I'm building a new shop. I'm like, he fucking knew.
He knew.
Yeah, that was, no, but I remember getting the call. I was down visiting my brother at Cal Poly, and I was really drunk. We'd submitted this application weeks before and never heard anything. And then Matt just called me.
You looked at a dodo and you expected to hear something?
Our favorite bird.
Yeah. he called me. I was like, okay, yeah, I guess we're doing it. Sure.
Yeah.
That was years ago now.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into something else.
But I only lost that one.
Yeah, guys, things would be a lot smoother here.
Different decisions could have been made.
You dove headfirst into steelheading last year. Is that right?
Oh yeah, last year that was.
And then this year was first. Would you describe it as all encompassing? In terms of your fall activity?
That's all I did from September to November. That's it.
We could talk for hours about this. At a high level, what is it about it that was so, that captured your attention so completely?
It's just new. It's not that I'm tired of like trout fishing or anything. I hear a lot of guys, you know, they start steelheading and they're like, oh, I can't do trout anymore. I'll always love fishing for trout. I don't know, something about that. But the steelhead thing, it was just so new. I knew nothing. And it's weird, you know, being in the river with a rod that you don't know how to cast.
It feels foreign.
That's kind of a unique feeling, right?
Yeah, like, totally.
I don't know how to get this out there. I garbage at it. So just feeling the progression was really cool. Like seeing myself progress, that got me. And then it's a new adventure. So driving to the Clearwater from here, I get the same feeling from that as when I would drive from Whitefish to here to catch brown trout. So it's just that, you know, the next progression of chasing that, that adventure feeling, I guess, you know, that's a big part of it for me. And of course the grab, I mean, that's, I can't really describe that.
The best, but, yeah, indescribable.
Yeah, I mean, it's
how long did you go before you got one?
Fun. Oh,
Last year, I think...
From zero to first fish.
I think it took me 13 days last year, but this year it took me 22.
Wow.
And I lost before I actually touched one on that 22nd day. Maybe 21st day. I lost at least... I think I lost three or four. I have text Braden every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the birthday one was a sad fit.
No, you did, please. Talk to me right now. Yeah, like,
what do I do?
Tell me it's going to be all right.
But I will say there is nothing like brings me joy more. I mean, I love catching a fish myself, right? I'm not saying this is above that. But out of when anybody else catch a fish, like when you text me a picture of a big steelhead or that big brown trout, I mean, I wanted to jump through the roof. I was so stoked. Just knowing how much time you put into figuring all this stuff out, because it's not like I went into steelheading relatively knowing how to spay cast because I've been doing it for years. You picked up you trout spayed some a little bit, right? We were just starting to get into that when you picked up the steelhead rod. And then the amount of effort and drive and focus and, you know, sun up to sundown effort that goes into it. And then when it pays off and I get that photo from you, I mean, it's the best. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a lot of secondhand joy. But yeah, I am like you at this point. I'm madly addicted to steelheading and it's kind of all I mean, I still love fish and trout.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm spending a lot of time thinking about that right now.
Away from the game.
Yeah.
Especially out here where you get them, you know, where you can drive to stuff, summer steelhead, spring steelhead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fall, winter.
Yeah, anytime I'm out there and you're in a run, Matt's in a different run, you know, and someone, your phone goes off, you're like, oh, someone got one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's always fun.
That day, where I think I went 1 for 3 and Johnny went like 2 for 4 or something the first day he showed up.
Yeah.
And it's just the group chat is buzzing.
I spiraled that day.
Dude, every time it buzzed, it's like, oh, somebody else got one.
I lost it that day. That was a tough one for me.
But wasn't it the next morning you got yours?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Johnny showed up and got one in the first hour. And I was like, what am I doing out here?
That was that same trip where I called Johnny from that run above Cherry Lane River, right, you know, where there's that tight squeeze.
Oh, yeah.
And it was blowing upstream 20 miles per hour, and I could not get a fly more than 10 feet away from me. I called Johnny, and I was just like, I almost lost my mind.
Talk to me.
Yeah. I was like, Johnny, why the fuck would a fish ever come up 20 feet to eat a fly this big in the column?
He's
it works.
He's good at putting confidence back in you.
Yes. Johnny's psychologist.
The ultimate.
Is Johnny ever your psychologist?
No.
Were you Johnny's psychologist?
He needed one.
Yes. I think he still does.
No, he's turning into me. That's the funnest part of this.
You said that's the funnest part of this?
That's the funnest part of watching Johnny. I mean, Johnny used to be the most milquetoast, spineless jellyfish you ever saw in your life. Never say anything that hurt somebody's feelings. I mean, but he's kind of turned into me, and I'm kind of like, I don't give a shit anymore, so I'm becoming milquetoast, and Johnny's yelling at everybody. I'm like, do you like that? Is it fun being me? Johnny did such a 360 in his life the thing of Johnny's business back then, no way. He's such a fish dick. He could do nothing. But, I mean, now he's just Johnny.
Yeah.
Did a pretty good reversal.
Yeah. Best way to describe it. He's just Johnny.
He's Johnny. If you don't know Johnny, you got to come meet Johnny.
I mean, he's just so intense and everything.
Johnny doesn't... I remember thinking this. I thought about this a lot of all the different facets of Johnny's life. You ever seen Johnny eat lunch?
What do you mean, eat?
Every day.
You don't have it. If you blink once, it's gone. Yeah. I mean, he eats lunch at 140%.
Yeah. It's just like, I have a really good friend, skier, Nick Nixon. I've talked to you about Nick, who's unbelievable skier right now, pro and racer. But he said to me once that Nick was driven by everything. Like he was the best at everything he ever did, you know. And he said, eating really irritated him. He says, just such an annoyance. He just says, I wish I could say a pill and never eat again in my life.
Yeah. I'm like, great. That'd be great.
He just, that's Johnny.
Johnny in another life. Ever seen him
do the Snickers bar to bug me?
No.
It's because I eat the 20th of a Snickers bar a day.
Yeah.
He goes, he'll look at me and he'll go, and I'll eat a Snickers with like two bites and gone. He goes, that's how you're supposed to do it.
It's crazy.
To do that with a 20th, it's all the same.
Yeah, he's such a lunatic, but we love you, Johnny. All right. We talked. I love you. Sorry, I didn't want to. The royal we. We talked about this a little bit with Bucky two episodes ago, which still hasn't aired, so I know you haven't heard it. But Bucky's a career fly shop guy, not a fly shop guide. Did you ever want to guide?
Yeah, definitely. At one point, yeah, I did. I did want to guide.
Did you do trips for us?
Nope, not here. I did a short stint in South Carolina for inshore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Redfish, sea trout, flounder, you know, mainly fishing
that's right.
Bait. Yeah, I remember. Bait and artificial lures on spinning gear. But yeah, that's the only guiding I've ever done. And I kind of found out that it's not really for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly what Bucky said.
Yep. Exactly what Bucky said.
It's just not my jam.
Why not? What about it do you think you wouldn't like?
It took, when I did it before, it just took something away from fishing. And fishing for me is, I mean, it's a incredibly important part of my life. It keeps me sane for sure. And on my days off, and granted, I was doing 2 to 3 trips a day, usually 2 trips. So 2 different groups of people. I believe they were like, you know, 4 to 6 hours a piece. Sometimes doing a third one. And that really just, you know, took it out. So the last place I wanted to be on a day off was fishing in a boat. And that's like, I don't know. That's where I like to be.
Said yeah. It in a lot of videos that, you know, very few guides that still fish.
Right.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah, I see it. But I just knew that's what would happen. So when I started here, and after my first year, I think you and Johnny asked me, you know, mm-hmm. basically we're after my second year, I guess. I can't remember. You know, it's time for you to be a guide. And I was like, I think I would way rather stay in the shop and help it grow from, like, you know, inside the shop. So
yeah,
that's what I did. Yeah.
I think we asked that because that's what everybody wants to do. You know, everybody wants to, because we won't let anybody guide mm-hmm. right out of them. Well, we would. I mean, if Bucky came and said he wanted to, or I mean, not Bucky, or like a Rowan or somebody that's been around forever, that you could say, okay, we know that's our people.
Yeah.
But everybody wanted to. I think we figured that's what you would want to do. But
I feel like it was really just glad a student. You did.
I think it would ruin you, and two, you're such an asset to us. It's crazy. So, yeah, I'm glad it didn't work out that way.
The only appealing thing to it, to me, is, you know, making what you make in a set amount of days, and then. But I know that wouldn't work out for me. You wouldn't see me outside of those days. I'd be.
I don't know if this is the best way to describe how much fishing means to Chris and really all of us around here. But when we were chatting, you had me dying laughing. You said something about, like, if you ever see me selling a rod on Facebook Marketplace, check on me. I'm not doing good.
Yeah, check. Call. If you see me selling fishing stuff, call me, because I'm not okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay. So we were texting about this a little bit the other night. This, maybe we're too deep into it, but this feels like a very special place to work. And one of the reasons behind that, what we were discussing, is these after work floats. And I know Kelly has mentioned them on here before. We've talked about them a little bit. So do you want to just kind of jump into why that's kind of a unique experience, and what it's like in terms of kind of the passing of knowledge and the.
Let me preface one thing.
Yeah.
With all the places in the world I've been, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen guys go on a drunk fest, you know, all guides days off. I mean, and they all go, I have never seen what these guys do. So, ever so anywhere in the world.
Just to preface this at a real high level, pretty much every night after work, there's 2 to 3, sometimes more boats that are heading out from here, fishing generally the same stretch river.
Just, you have 3.5 hours of daylight.
Yeah.
And that's they've why been in the shop or on the river because the guides go too.
Yeah.
I mean, the guides will go too.
Oh, yeah.
That I have never seen.
No.
No. Ever any time.
After they got off the river. trip that day.
Yeah. They could be on the water from 5:30 to 5.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get back and they immediately jump in to head down to Lions Bridge to go float.
The thing is, it's like they are jumping.
They're racing.
Yeah. It's like, and there's a vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what's kind of unique about it? Why do you think it's unique? And then, yeah, we'll jump in from there. Sorry, high questions, a lot of questions.
No, we've done that since I started. You know, it was just I think when I started, it was just Jeremy and Wyatt. So we would go fishing after work, and that's just carried on every single year with any new shop employees, whoever's working in the shop, plus guides. You know, we're fishing after work every day. Just someone's fishing after work every single day. Maybe not everyone, but most everyone.
Yeah. Not always three fishing. Boats, but I mean, there's somebody, rather they boat or.
There's almost all
June and July, there's three. Yeah. Yeah. There's easily 3 to 4 boats every day. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a cool way to transfer knowledge. You know, we're out there having a good time for sure. Maybe drinking a couple beers and stuff, but, it's just, it's the coolest way to, you know, spend time with your coworkers or with your friends.
Yeah.
After work.
Jake describing it to you or somebody just last few days about being, Jake's Japanese, right? And he shows up, the people that don't know him, and he said he showed up and he goes, here comes, he had some derogatory term for himself. I don't remember what he called himself, but it's this Japanese guy. He says, show up with all these guys in the shop. And he says, I'm thinking, oh, how's this going to go? And he says, first thing he says, dude, we're going to fish at 5:00. You going to go? And he says, well, yeah, yeah, hell yeah. And he says, they took me in like we're all brothers. And he says, so that's the way it's supposed to be. But you never see that.
Oh, yeah.
You can say that shit, but you don't see it.
Right.
And y'all bicker with each other and shit like that. But, I mean, that's what brothers do. And sisters. I mean, Jordan, I mean, shit, she was absorbed instantly. I mean, it's like there is, I will give some of this generation that. They're
inclusivity.
Embracing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't use that term, but yeah.
Who else you got to hang out with when you live right here?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's your fishing buddies, whoever you're working with all day right there.
A handful of them hung out at whatever bar they could. Oh, guys that didn't make it too long.
We see that, right?
I mean, and that's the, I mean, who cares? I mean, everybody wants to go out and have beers and shit like that, but there's a priority. It's a camaraderie with you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really cool.
And nobody's just sitting in the boat drinking. It is.
No.
It's about the fishing. It's like you have beers, you're hanging out. Like,
yeah.
It's fishing. It's not just screwing around. And I think what we were talking about that's so cool is just this kind of transfer of knowledge. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess, well, when we get a new guy in the shop, you know, and they can have ton of fishing experience, maybe not a ton, but they fish before and they fish streamers and, you know, they're used to fishing how they've grown up fishing, and you get in the boat with them and, you know, they're always in the back at first. They never wants to be in the front at first. So they're in the back and you can see them back there. Just pulling rope. Then maybe you or Matt or Jake or whoever's in the front and just roping them and you're jigging and doing all that. And no one ever has to tell the guy in the back, like, hey man, you know, it's a little more effective if you make that come downstream and you animate it with your rod tip. To my knowledge, no one's ever had to tell a new guy that. But after you fish maybe that third after work, fourth after work float, that guy is doing exactly what everyone else is doing and no one has to tell him. And it's really cool to watch.
I've watched it with, you know, it was me watching Jeremy, Johnny, watching those guys. And then I watched it with you and Matt. I've watched Andrew, Nathan. You know, they're super fishy, but they pulled rope when they first got here. And then after, you know, with Andrew, it was probably after one float, he's out there just jigging it like he's been doing it his whole life. And just really neat to see that. That's really cool.
From my perspective, watching the kids that are working the shop, I mean, I'm thinking about Expendables 4 right now, when at the end of the movie.
When are you not thinking about Expendables 4?
And the guys stand there, and they all won their war or whatever. And he looks at Stallone. He goes, "You look like a demented grandfather." And I think, I kind of feel that way when I watch these guys go out. Because for me, it's cool that they go fish, but it's really cool when they come back. The knowledge, like a kid that's just starting here, right? And he comes back and go fishing by yourself is one thing. Come back with 6, 7, 8 people have come back. That kid's all of a sudden telling people, oh, and it's like they'll ask the guide in the morning, "What are you guys fishing?" Blah, blah, blah. And their knowledge growth goes like poof, just like that.
Oh, it's just the fastest.
Unbelievable. And they're not bullshitting anybody. I mean, you know, if I hear you bullshitting, your ass is grass. Mm-hmm. But they'll be, when you'd see that, they'd come back in, or even better, they'd say, so, and then the questions start with you, you know, it's like, okay, that's enough. Don't get away from me. But no, I mean, it's just like, no, it's like they learn so quick. And I think it's a real difference between our staff because they learn on water. You know, they're not sitting there asking guides, what's this? And the guide's like, get away from me, pissy. I'm busy right now, right? And they come back and they're just like, phew. And you think of anybody that didn't happen to because they did have first. And then there's a whole different persona from somebody who actually knows they went out and this is what we did. And they can say, well, last night.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and the guys go, oh, you fished last night? Oh, yeah. And we just crushed it.
You know what I like in this, too, is I remember showing up.
Not Expendables 4?
No. It turns out there's a couple movies I think about a lot, but not that one. When I showed up, I was very green around the ears. I thought I was a pro, just like I said. I can't tell you how many times I've done this in my life where I think I'm good at something, and then I meet people who are actually good at something, and I go, oh, I suck. So I thought I was good at fishing when I showed up here, and it took about an hour of being in this shop, and like, oh, I better shut my mouth and listen, and learn. And, you know, early on, I was instructed to listen to what Jeremy and Chris have to say. And if somebody asks you, you can regurgitate their information as long as it is straight from them. You're not embellishing it until you have a chance to learn. And that's why, you know, the first day we showed up, Johnny says, you're off the next 3 days, go fish, learn. Go learn the river.
That wasn't a suggestion either.
No, it was not. It was not a suggestion. Oh, there's football on. Nope. But I, you know, so in that early period, not that I know everything now, I definitely don't. But every one of those experiences I had, you know, a positive experience with a fish, I'd come back into the shop and be stoked to talk about it with somebody. Because I likened it to, I was a pretty bad student in school. I'm not sure that's surprising to anyone. Most tests I didn't study for. And that like feeling of somebody asks you a question, you don't know the answer and you're supposed to have an answer versus like being prepared for the test. And you go out and you watch, you know, they don't eat black, but they hammer white. And you go in the next morning and go, I know the answer to this test, or at least the test last night. And I can share that with somebody now. And it's a pretty like cool, powerful feeling that at least for me drove me to want to learn more.
Yeah.
It's kind of fed to you in a fire hose. I mean, because
absolutely,
and you know, the other thing that's really unique to you guys is that you share everything, and the guides all share everything, and they'll listen to you in the shop. That's what I've seen. A couple of guys have been corrected. Somebody, I don't care who it is. Oh, wait a minute. No, there's none of this. Oh, you know, don't hurt anybody's feelings. Bullshit. You walk over and say, well, that could work, but it'll be somebody say this, right? I've seen everybody in this place do it to someone. And so I was a new guy. Not mean, nothing like that. Just like, well, you know, that could be. And that whoever it is shuts up, listens, and almost always says thanks.
Right? They go to like, school. Yeah.
They go to school, they learn. I mean, it's the difference between shop rats, you know, shop rats and shop employees.
Yeah.
Guys that, girls, I mean, even what's her name that didn't fish, she could at least, she almost like she had a little notebook, you know, at least she could say this.
Yeah.
Once in a while she would embellish. I'd have to tell her to, no, that's not exactly right. Or, you know, it was close.
Yeah, close. Yeah.
Wrong month, ballpark. But we're close. Yeah. Yeah. But it was somebody's always, and that's a comfort zone for me. The last thing is, as a shop owner, you should want to ever have is somebody get even a little bit wrong, right?
Just, right.
You need that stuff to be dialed. And it's such a comfort zone. And it all comes from that. You guys going out and doing, I've never seen like it.
I mean, this might be the greatest advertisement for working here ever, which we are hiring right now. But yeah, I mean, even like I'm up here a lot in the summer with Chuck and Jake and Kyler. We're always doing the same thing. And then I go down to the North Slide and I sit in the back with you and we talk about fishing for an hour. And yeah. Whether it's just sharing stories or discussing strategies, all this stuff, and it's just bouncing ideas off of the other people. I use this phrase a lot, but it's kind of the rising tide lifts all ships. Like, we've all learned from each other. I've learned more from everyone around me than I've taught anyone, but we all have something a little different to bring to the table, which is really cool.
Definitely.
You should be me. You never will be, but.
No, I know. People seem to make that
true.
Very clear.
Not true. I mean, I go out, and I get in the back all the time.
Yeah.
I've watched you guys. I pick up shit from you guys, including you. Everybody I've ever, I've not fished with you.
Oh,
I thought this was coming. I thought this was going to show up sooner or later. I thought you had me about 3 minutes ago.
I was thinking
this year's the year. I'm going to just take you on a shoot. But not by choice, just I don't know why that one's. But I hadn't fished with hardly anybody, really.
Well,
I mean, but when I go out and I pick something up, you know, I sit back there and it's like, and it's happened to everybody, even Kyler.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Kyle had a twitch that I have not seen people do the way he did it. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. On a golden.
Yeah.
And it was, but I've learned something from everybody I've fished with. And that doesn't happen when you fish with, if you're always the instructor, if you're always, you know, you just, nobody knows it all. And it might not be something you don't know. It's just like, oh shit, his hand's going this way. I never even thought about putting my hand over there. You know, and it's like, how's he doing that? And you watch and it's like, son of a bitch, like 20-year-old kid. That was pretty cool.
No, I would have never fished those scorpion things. If, you know, that crew of guys we got, 2 years ago now, just and Nate, just started fishing them. And I don't think I would have ever, you know.
It is, you know, what it does is it, no one stagnates, right?
Right.
Can you imagine if we had a Euro nymper that did nothing but Euro nymph? I mean,
I'm not sure you'd be here too long.
Drawn in court. I mean, which would be fine if everybody went out and did it, if that's what we were all doing. But I mean, or if they were, you know, there's no like one guy that just dry fly fishes. When Andy Sabota was here, he was a diehard dry guy, right? Mm. But only if there were bugs hatching, he's switching over to a nymph. And, you know, comes up with the first articulated bent head and all that, which Tommy Lynch did not. That was Andy Sabota bent the first hook and made it like that in the Swimmy Jimmy. He had all facets, and he knew nothing about streamer fishing.
Yeah.
You might talk about a sponge. I mean, Jesus, it was like, God, you know, he'd just watch you, and you could just feel him taking everything you've ever known in your life, and it's instantly in him. But it's a pretty cool crew.
I don't want to pay Kyler any compliments, but he's a little bit like that, too.
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. Oh, I have to watch that prick sit here and watch me tie. I haven't tied a fly in 3 months, you know, and he comes in, he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Probably go.
So don't you have a job?
Sup, I'm Kyler. Go check him out. He's on Snake River Flies YouTube channel right now. He's doing.
Watching him this morning.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it Larry?
Him and Larry.
Yeah, Larry and him are sitting down. They were tying some streamer with the rubber off a puffy ball or something.
Yeah. Larry's a mad scientist. He's so good.
That makes sense. They should hang out then and checks out.
Kyler doesn't like to drink quite like Larry does.
Not at all.
Yes.
I met Larry on the South Fork this past year. He's so nice.
One of the biggest personality, fun humans, fishier and shit, dude.
Well, yeah, he's like, Kelly, let you use his boat? You know. I was like, no. And I didn't know who he was. I didn't know how he knew. It was
Yeah.
It's kind of how I met him. I walked up to him at the one place, my guide.
Yeah, he just found out. Well, he didn't say he owned Snake River Fly or anything, and we said our goodbyes. They went off at the ramp, and then I was rowing down, and I was like, he had the what SRF hat mm-hmm. on and shit. And I was like, oh fuck, that was Larry Larson.
I met him at the one fly when he walked up. Somebody told me who he was. Talked to her, says, "You Larry?" And says, "Yes, I'm your client for tomorrow." And he's so drunk. I mean, he is just like wobbling. It's free beer night. You got that hawk trough of beer, right? Yeah. It was every night that night. But and I says, we're on the South Fork. How's it fishing? Be fine if you can throw a streamer. I said, I'll do my best. And I walked away, and he comes over and he grabs me and goes, oh, you're my fucking hero. We're going to kill it tomorrow. And we've been best buds for ever since.
That's fun.
Dad, we had a blast. So yes.
Anything else you want to jump into before we wrap this thing up? Any other?
I can't ask you a favorite trip, but it's still to come, I'm sure. But
what if you ask that and we just don't say where you were?
Are they all the same to you? Is it like a 6 hour, an 8 hour? For me, getting ready for the trip is more fun usually than the trip itself.
God, I couldn't disagree more. I hate that. I throw everything in my car as fast as I can, and I figure out what I got when I get there.
No, I can't do that.
I can't do that.
No, I make a list.
I stay up at night.
Really. Weeks in advance.
I might have been to that place mm-hmm. 50 times, and I'm like, I'll get up in the middle of the night and go check a fly box, which I know I got 20 of them in it, but I'll go, okay, it's there. I'm cool. All right, I can go back to sleep.
Yeah, I make a list weeks in advance, and then getting ready for a trip, it's a love-hate for me. I enjoy it, but it's stressful. I'm an overpacker.
Me too.
Big time. What if I need this?
Well,
you should see when I go to the White.
Yeah.
I mean, the back of my truck's full and my boat's full. I mean, absolutely full.
So I guess distinction. I live in my car.
Yes,
so, you do. So I have to throw things too far.
Shit in my car. All I have to do is start it up. And then drive. Yeah, I do like what I did all of last year. I mean, I kept most of my flies and everything in storage, and I would just get to the river, and I had my one boat box, which was mostly full of streamers. I had spay streamers and I had strip streamers. And I just, throw a couple flies in a puck and go with just that. And a couple of granola bars and maybe some macaroni and hot dogs.
I've gotten better about not taking like a giant bag with me if I'm like wade fishing, but
this is Tybee.
My car's got everything in it.
You'll be up in the chair in a second.
Tybee, come here.
Figured we're getting too close. We got to have the flop. The floppy mop. Don't you? Oh, look at that kid.
That's a big dog.
There. She'll show up. She's bigger than Chris.
Yeah, if you see this thing on the river, she will come lick you.
Oh, you're tight.
Give me that tail.
Do you have like a favorite adventure for one reason or the other? Just something that sticks out in your mind of like, if I could do this tomorrow, I'm going here. You don't have to say where, but. Because of a past trip. That
if was it
so
was
great.
January, I don't know. Saltwater sounds good right now, but I can think of like a very memorable day. The first time I ever fished streamers. That's the trip or adventure that sticks out the most in my mind that I've already done.
Was that in a famous waterway or?
It was on the Missouri.
Yeah.
I don't remember where we put in. It was the first time I ever fished for trout out of a boat. We were in a raft and my buddy Bane, I had never heard of a sex dungeon or anything, and I'd been fishing streamers, but I'd just been
here.
I don't know. Well, this leads to it. This is when I
predates that.
Yeah, he just we were ski instructors, and he was I don't know for whatever reason he invited me to go fish the Missouri one day, and I was like, okay, I didn't know anything. I think I was throwing streamers on like a fiberglass 8-weight. That was my first streamer rod. Terrible choice. We went. And he was like, we're going to throw these. They're sex dungeons. And they were olive. I remember that. And I was sitting in the back of a 2-man raft as the third man.
Oof.
And we were throwing them. And I was just stripping. And he was like, no, that's no. And he showed me kind of how to jerk strip. And after that, we
I don't know how many fish we moved that day. I have no idea how many we caught. It was like every Russian olive you threw that thing under.
Nice.
And a brown trout came and chased it. And I was like, this is all I want to do. I had never seen anything visual like that. Didn't even know. Just been happy catching little cutthroat around whitefish, you know, and then brown trout.
Didn't understand that there's sharks in freshwater.
Yeah. Yeah. To be.
Very cool.
And that was it.
Yeah. I likewise, I remember being ruined. It's the first day. Well, I'd come out here once before, but the first day after I moved out here, Matt and I showed up. We see Kelly. I mean, I was just like, oh my God, it's Kelly. And somebody told me you quit drinking and you pulled up in your car and said, are you my Michigan boys? I'm like, well, he went to Michigan, but we're both from Seattle. I hired a couple of libtards. You just rolled up your window, and as you were driving away, took a sip of a Coors Light. And I was like, okay, that's interesting.
You're like, where are
they? Yeah, what? Where? I should have gotten gas in Ennis, shouldn't I?
I do. Do you journal? We've been talking about journals all the time.
I was listening to the last one you guys did, and you said something in the shop to me the other day, and I used to do it during my short stint guiding saltwater. I kept a journal every day with conditions and stuff. God, and
it would be great if he had one. Imagine how perfect it would be.
It's something I'm going to start this year.
Can you draw?
Yes,
he can.
Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah, no, he's good. That means he's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't like it. But
trust me.
I like
it. His handwriting's impeccable. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was going to start. You said the other day, you should do it.
If you can have regrets and live with it, that's probably one of my biggest in the world.
Well, I hear people say that. You're not the only person I've heard say that about a fishing journal, and I think it'd be cool one day to look back, grab, like, you know, 2026 off the shelf.
That's my point. I had
see what you did 12 that day.
Years of journals. Well, actually, I had 14 because I started again after I realized that mine had disappeared. But it was really tough on me because they're gone, right?
Right.
I keep thinking someday that I'm going to open a Tupperware and I'm going to find those some bitches and just, I don't know, jump in a coffee.
Chance is pretty good. Yeah, you might find them.
Yeah, I don't think so. It was a long time ago, but it's pretty cool. I think about starting them again, but I'd probably about be dead before I'd get one worthwhile, but you should.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think I'm going to do that this year. I know I'm going to do that this year. Try every time I go, I'm going to write something about it.
That was cool.
What you just did is the change in positivity that I think is essential to steelheading in low numbers areas. Where you said, I think I'm going to do it this year. No, I know I'm going to do it this year.
Yeah.
It's that just like, hello, you know, baby. I could bail out of this run halfway through.
What are you doing?
I'm going to finish the run.
The next swing is the one.
It's always the next one. Oh, yeah. I struggle. You helped me a lot with that, with just the mindset. I really struggled with that. And it's, you know, I was essentially rewarded. It's like negative reinforcement. I got a couple fish last year and I was going about it all the wrong way. And I caught less fish this year, but I think I did. I think I fished better this year than I did last year. And a lot of that was up here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got a new rod. I was throwing it further, blah, blah, blah. I think most of that was up top of just like I'm going to swing all the way through this run and it's either going to happen or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go to the next run. Oh, that was the best part of the run. I'm going to bail out now.
That's a good thing. I used to do that when I started.
It was bail out of runs.
Oh, bail out. I'd take the sweet spot and go. Look, and I'd walk. I mean, I'd go a long ways and then figured it out. They're not always in the sweet spot.
It takes some intense mental fortitude to go through some of those, 400-yard long runs?
Just remember, they just got to go all the way through the river.
They do,
don't know where. They don't have to stop anywhere.
That was the line you said when I remember thinking, like, this water's bullshit. How would anybody ever catch a fish in this? You go, they got to swim through everything.
Yes.
They got to go through everywhere. At some point, there's going to be a fish in this area. And it could be now.
Where you smell.
Sweet. Anything else we want to add before wrapping up?
No.
We're definitely going to have Chris on again. He'll be here a bunch more.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, we'll make this.
He's got to get his list of rivers and locations and post them to Well, then we'll have Chris on.
Oh, I've always said I'd rather someone get my social security number than my Onyx password.
Dude, I have never seen a human move as fast as you did when it popped up. I typed in Onyx one day and you'd forgotten to log out. It popped up and you're like, give me it. That hand, light speed to that mouse, log out. Then, it looked like,
And by the way, nobody asked Chris where he's going.
Don't ask Chris where he's fishing. No, you don't.
I'm just good at telling these guys. Hmm? I'm good at telling the shop guys.
Okay, when you sent me that photo.
I want to talk about it with someone.
Yeah, when you sent me that photo, I remember I screenshotted it and I sent it to Jack and he said, where was it? I said, I don't know and I won't ask. And then we were in the back and you're like, do you want to know where it is? And I was like, of course I want to know, but I'm trying to control myself.
But the one thing is you're not that guy that goes back to the same spot always. Right.
Not always.
Most people want a spot and they go, oh, this is great. And they don't ever go anywhere else.
It's
always been the thing that, we say on the thing, if somebody's standing in your run, try a different one. It might be your next best, your favorite run ever.
Yeah.
You know, it happens to me all the time out here. There's somebody standing where I'm at my idea. Try somewhere else,
Well, I really liked your line about that. It's one of the many things you said that resonates with me is it's like, okay, so you fished this same side of the river for 20 years and you've never seen a giant fish in it?
Genius.
Did you think about the other side?
Maybe.
Did you? Maybe. If you've done this over and over again and it didn't work?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks for being on, man.
Very cool.
We'll be back on soon. I got the sound a little bit more figured out. And the other complicated part of this is Kelly and I generally don't plan when we're filming these things until about a day before.
Yes.
So we're gonna try to be better about that and have some more guests on, have Chris on again. Yeah.
When we move to the other shop.
That'll be nice.
That'll be easy.
Very easy. Well, thanks for joining and thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks.